on its rusty hinges. Coming out of the corridor, I stood across from my father. He stood on the other end of the room, a disappointed, angry look on his face, staring me in the eyes. I averted my gaze towards the floor and shakily walked towards him. He ignored me and walked over to the desk and began to fill out all of the paperwork necessary to get me out of prison. He pulled out of his pocket wads of cash and began paying off the different debts that I had created. He took care of all the legal matters, and then he walked towards the door of the police office, not saying a word to me, opened the door and left. As he walked out, he motioned for me to follow. I stood there in the police station, almost wanting to stay where I was, thinking to myself that that lonely, moldy prison cell was better than going home with my father, who I knew would be upset. But having no choice, I resolutely began walking towards the door of the exit of the police station. I opened the door, exited, and began following my father towards his carriage. He reached up, opened the door, and motioned for me to get inside. I hesitated for a brief moment before stepping up into the carriage. He came into the carriage, sat down across from me, slammed the door, and didn't say a word. He sat there and just stared. I tried to make conversation. I tried to somehow get him comfortable, but nothing worked. His steely gaze looking right at me. Finally, we arrived at our home. He got out of the carriage, went into the mansion. I followed him up the long steps. Once inside, he gave me one of the worst beatings of my life. I couldn't walk properly for days afterwards. It didn't work, though. I didn't care. I still wanted to do what I wanted to do. You might even say that I got worse after that day. I made friends with some people that began taking me to places where we would gamble and drink. In fact, it got so bad that while my mother was sick, on the verge of dying, I wasn't around to help. I wasn't home to carry water and bring her food. No, I was out partying. In fact, the night she died, I was gambling and drinking. I remember my dad being pretty much fed up with me, tired of me. He called me into his study one day and he said, "George, I'm sick and tired of it. It's time for you to make something of yourself. I'm sending you to Hale University, where I want you to become a clergyman." I stood across from him in the study and my eyes went wide. I said, "A clergyman? What do you mean, Father? I am not the right person for that." You see, a clergyman was like a pastor, somebody that had a church, they would preach, they would teach. And in Prussia, being a clergyman was a big deal. At first, I was angry about this. It meant that I would probably have to give up gambling. It meant I'd have to give up drinking. And I was protesting and angry and trying to argue with my dad. But in the midst of it, he explained to me, he said, "George, you need to understand this. Being a clergyman means you will make a lot of money and you'll get a lot of respect." Those two reasons were enough for me. I realized that I could make that work. And as I walked up to my room that day, I thought to myself, you know what? This could actually work out even better, because not only do clergymen make a lot of money, I could trick people. I could con them into giving me even more money. This could really work out. By the end of that day, I was getting pretty excited about becoming a clergyman. It wasn't too long later that I headed off for Hale University. While there, I began taking Bible classes, which I could care less about. But I knew if I could just make it through these classes, I would end up becoming a high-class clergyman. My dad would send me allowances, a certain amount of money every month, and I would take that money, and at first I tried to save it, but that didn't last long. I began discovering all the gambling places and the places where I could buy alcohol, and I built some friendships with people that showed me all the different places near Hale University where we could party. And I became known as the Bible student who partied. Became known as a Bible student who was a great gambler and could drink a ton of beer and be fine. I was proud of it. But then one day, I met a guy by the name of Beta. He was a little unique. He wouldn't go out partying. He wouldn't do all the things that we were doing, but somehow he talked to me and we built a friendship. And I remember one day Beta coming to me after class and he said, "Hey, George, I've got a prayer meeting that I go to. Are you interested in coming?" I think I laughed. Come on. Me, Beta, you understand who you're asking? I am the gambling king. Why would I go to your prayer meeting? I said, "No, George, I think you ought to come. I think you might really enjoy it." I kept protesting, and I went back to my room, and I sat down and began to think, you know what? This could actually work out. I imagined myself going to this prayer meeting and acting all spiritual and then walking away with a hilarious story about these crazy people that read the Bible and pray. So I went to Beta and I said, "Beta, sure, I'll go to your prayer meeting." A couple nights later, I found myself walking down a cold street towards a house. When I got there, I knocked on the door. A nice lady opened the door, and as she did, I could smell the smells of warm, freshly baked bread. Was actually pretty inviting. She invited me inside. I walked into the firelit room, and there sitting in the living room were about 12 people. Didn't know any of them. They all welcomed me in and greeted me and learned my name, and they're really nice. I sat down prepared to hold back laughter at this prayer meeting, but as the prayer meeting got started, they began to read the Bible and sing songs. And slowly but surely, as I watched this group of 12 people, I noticed that they were unlike anybody I'd ever met before. When they prayed, they would talk to God as if he was real. That blew my mind. I never thought of God as real. He was just part of our society, a fairy tale. Yet here these people were, and they truly believed who God was. I surprisingly enjoyed that meeting. I said goodbye to the 12 people that night, and as I got into the chilly, crisp air, standing outside that house, Beta followed after me, stopped me on the doorsteps. "Hey, George, did you like it?" I turned around, and to my surprise, I nodded my head and said, "Yeah, Beta, I liked it." "So why don't you come back next week?" "Yep. Sure, fine, Beta, I'll come back next week." And so the next week I went back to the same house. We did the same prayer meeting. A couple nights later we did the same thing. And before you know it, I was a regular at this prayer meeting. And I learned that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for me. I learned that God truly was real, that the Bible truly was a real book that I should follow. I remember one night after one of these meetings, as I walked home and thinking about all the things that they had taught me, I got back to my dorm room, walked up into my room, sat down, and I prayed to God as if he was real, because I knew he was. And I asked him to save me from my sins. I believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And that night, he saved me. He transformed my life. The next day, I felt so different. I was so excited to go to my Bible classes. I was so excited to learn more about God. I enjoyed my classes now. And one of my friends, who I usually went partying out with, said, "Hey, George, we're going to go party tonight. You want to come?" I looked at him and said, "No, I'm actually going to study tonight." His jaw dropped. He looked at me, eyes wide. "Are you kidding me? George, you never say no to a good party." I tried to explain to them that I was different now, that I believed that Jesus Christ died for me, that I was saved. He just shook his head and walked away. None of my friends understood, though I tried to explain. After 6 weeks of going to these meetings, I made another big decision. Sitting in my dorm room, contemplating the future of my life, I decided that being a clergyman who was just really about having wealth and power was not what God wanted me to do. No, God wanted me to become a missionary, to go to other people and tell them about Christ, tell them what God had done for them. There was only one problem. In order to become a missionary, I needed to change my major. I needed to change the classes I was taking, and there was only one person who could allow me to do that change. I needed the signature of my father. There was no way he was going to allow me to do this. Missionaries made no money. Missionaries suffered. Missionaries, that was not what my dad would want, but I did it anyways. I gathered all the paperwork. On one of my vacations, I went home, walked into my dad's study, and I set the papers on his desk, and I said, "Dad, I want to become a missionary." He looked at me, confusion in his eyes. Suddenly, his face got red. And out of nowhere, my dad began to yell and scream. He couldn't believe it. "How could you do this, George?" And finally, to be